I need you, Helen. I love music. I love music. I think it's just the most incredible thing. Put your hand up if you love music. Yeah, no, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Can we have this slide? Was that okay? There we are. We're looking at prayer. We'll get to that in a second, but I'm just fixated on music at the moment. It's just an incredible thing. You know, for centuries across cultures, people are agreed in the place of music within our societies. Martin Luther, who was one of the principal scholars of the church during the Reformation, said this: next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. And before him, the Greek philosopher Plato said, music is a moral law. It gives soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, charm and gaiety to life and to everything. And then after him, the Irish philosopher, Bono, said, music can change the world. Music can change. I'm not going to do his accent. Music can change the world because it can change people. And you know, what I find most incredible with music is that we can start with absolutely nothing. And then through our interaction of will and mind and imagination and skill, we can bring something into being. That changes our surrounding. It can be a simple melody, just one single melody line. But then we can discover that alongside that single line of melody, we can add some other notes that don't drown out the focus of the melody, but actually complement it. We call it harmony. And then we can discover that alongside that single those melodies, we can add very different notes and different rhythms and layers of harmony that support and build up this beautiful melody even more. And then we can add other voices into the melody. Very, very different. And it can be enjoyed alone, but there's an incredible synergy that's released when you add these different voices into the harmony, all playing in the same direction. And into that melody, we can add words that bring meaning to the music. Forgiving us your Son and leaving your Spirit, the work on earth is done. What's incredible is just that one simple melody that we've just been playing has the potential to hold the whole world. There's room for the whole world, for every single voice, to sing that one melody. It's wonderful and it's powerful when all of those voices join together as the composer meant them to join together. But what would happen if one of those musicians decided not to follow the music and to just to play his own thing? What if everybody else just decided to play in their own thing? Something happens. It's chaotic. It's confusing. It's painful to listen to, isn't it? It's painful. It's out of order. Out of order. So we need to call everything back into order. And there's that melody line. Guys, In the beginning, God wrote a melody that became a symphony. And when he sang that melody, an energy was released and it created an environment that was filled with life. But God didn't want just a trio. He wanted an orchestra. And so he created one. And he gave them free will, imagination, creativity, and ability to add their harmonies to his melody. And for a while it worked. But then the players thought, well, we can make our own melody. But all it did was distort the tune, bringing chaos and confusion to the melody that the composer had composed. But God continued to play. And he didn't give up. And he tried again and he recruited a whole nation. And he gave them the manuscript. And they played for a little while. And something of the music got out there, but there was still a lot of noise. And every so often God sent a new musical director to come and direct in the form of a judge or the form of a king or the form of a prophet to bring the players back to the score. And even though some of them stuck to the melody, there were many who did not. But God did not give up. The symphony is still playing, despite the noise. And in fact, it was reaching the stage where the end of the first movement was coming to an end, and the second movement was about to begin. And for this new movement, the composer wanted to upscale the numbers in the choir and orchestra. And instead of sending a prophet or a king this time, he sent himself. He gave the most clear instructions of how the melody should be played, and he extended the invitation to the whole of humankind to participate. And not only did he give the manuscript, but he gave himself. He sent his spirit so we could not only know how to play the music, but that we could feel it. We could sense it deep within our souls. And that we would have the energy to play the song continually, without interruption, to play it before the composer and to others who are not yet playing, and extend to them the invitation to join in. The music of God, is looking for more voices. The song of the ages is moving towards its great ending. So the question that comes to us this morning, first off, is, do you want to join a choir? Do you want to join the choir? When the disciples stood before Jesus, they were asking him about prayer. Teach us how to pray. But I think really what the question they were asking was how do we join in with what's going on? How do we enter in? How do we participate in this life that you talk about? How do we add our voices to this song? And Jesus said to them, pray to your Father and pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When God created the heavens and the earth, they became part of his kingdom. They became part of his kingdom. So that second one shouldn't be there yet. And the kingdom of God can best be described as the place where the reign and the rule of God are established over his people. It's a place where the decrees of God are adhered to and when they come to pass. And when he created the earth, he set up humankind as his ruler over the earth. He delegated authority to rule to humankind and gave them the free will to do as they saw fit. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. If it comes up, there we are. gives us this view. And God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground. And it gives us this view of, we have been given the authority to rule. But the way in which we rule is not independent of God. But it is in the pattern of God. And if you read the first 25 verses of Genesis chapter 1, we see a pattern of creativity, a pattern of nurture, a pattern of care, a pattern of stewardship that is life-giving, life-enhancing, and life-sustaining. And God created man in his image, in his likeness. The Creator's desire was for us to exist within the pattern of existence that God himself had revealed in his creation. And the pattern was one of vibrant life. Jesus himself said, I have come that they might have and life to the... Brilliant, well done. And there's a difference there, isn't there? There's a difference between just surviving and thriving. It's not just life. It's life to the full. A life that thrives. And so when Jesus said to his disciples, your kingdom come, your will be done, what he was saying was of primary importance that you align yourself with the reign and the authority and the ways of the Father and his kingdom. And so the question that raises itself to us at this point is, as opposed to what? What's the alternative? Well, it is as opposed to their own authority or any other authority that they have chosen themselves to come under. You see, because God entrusted us with the authority, he has given us free will, the freedom to determine our own existence within the constraints of physical life on earth. And as such, we choose how our choices are influenced. We can live in relationship with the Father. We can seek his wisdom and his influence on our choices. Or we can go alone. And we can try to determine the best choices for ourselves. Or we can invite the influence of other parties to determine those choices. Without wishing to be overly dramatic at this point, this is a life or death decision. It's a life or death decision. Presumably, that's why Jesus puts it at the beginning of the prayer. There's a priority there, isn't there? The pattern with which God created, the pattern with which he rules, and the pattern which he invites us to follow, as we see in the Bible, is life-creating, it is sustaining, it is enhancing. And his credentials are pretty impressive. His track record is pretty good. The question is whether or not the alternatives are any better. And in my humble experience, the short answer to the question is no, they're not. And I could spend more time trying to convince you of that. But we're limited with time. But if you think differently on that, and you'd like to talk that through, I'll happily do that. But in my experience with my own life, when I've taken matters into my own hands, or I've allowed myself to come under the authority and the influence of something else, whether that is spiritual or physical, I find myself in a place that does not sustain life. It drains life. It destroys life. It does not enhance it. And when we look at the old stories, right the way through Scripture, we see the stories of good people being badly influenced, coming under and into the authority of sometimes some destructive influences. But we also see positive stories where people come under the influence of the Father's kingdom. And we see the difference so clearly. We can look at the life of Abraham, Moses, David, the kings of Israel, Judah, Elijah, Jonah, Job, the disciples, Paul, St. Augustine, Martin Luther, Charles Wesley, John Newton, Steve Martin, Dave Swain, Mark Frost. We could go on and on. Each of these people came to a point, or maybe several points in their lives, when they recognized the wisdom and the need to be singing off the same hymn sheet as the creator of the universe. That the path of wisdom begins with a fear or a holy reverence for God. A submission to his authority. Submission to his sovereignty. And we need to follow those examples, the examples of those that have gone before us, to learn from their mistakes, to learn from their victories. And I believe that the authority and the presence of the kingdom is an ever-expanding one, whether we perceive it or not. In the UK, again, there was another report that was released this week, you know, that was saying about the decline of Christianity in the UK. But globally, it's still growing. Globally, it's still growing. As Johnny encouraged us last week to believe, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It cannot be stopped. And there is a growing crescendo in this great symphony that will not be quietened. It will increase. But the degree and the speed to which it increases also has a bearing on us too. It's one thing to align ourselves with heaven's authority, but it's another thing to live out our lives in accordance with that alignment. What we know in here, let's come back. What we know in here and believe in here needs to work its way out here. Our authority, the authority to reign and influence, and sorry, the authority and the reign and the influence of God in this world comes when we agree and act in accordance with the will of the Father. It exists, but God has chosen to rule through us. The kingdom comes when his will is done. As I mentioned earlier in my musical illustration, when we determine by will an action to play under another influence, then the power of the melody falters, doesn't it? It becomes confused. It doesn't achieve all that it could achieve. It's distorted and it's weakened. It doesn't disappear, but it's clouded. And our agreement or disagreement with God has significant consequences as we live out our lives. When we live out of disagreement with God, then God's purposes for our lives can become distorted, confused, or thrown into chaos. And we cannot experience the fullness of his best for us, because we have simply chosen not to. We make that choice. It is as simple as that. However, when we live out our lives in accordance with God's sovereignty and will, then we align ourselves in harmony, to the harmony of heaven, and we unleash what I've come to know as the synergy of the ages. This has been coming through history since the beginning of time. How many of you know that God has a significant purpose for your life? Significant purpose for your life that was determined before you were born. That's what Scripture says. How many of you know that God's plans for you are plans to make you prosper? And that the life that Jesus has for you is an abundant life. And that this has been the plan since the beginning. I've often struggled with that abundant life thing. But the more that I've struggled with it and wrestled with it, the more that I've actually seen that there are so many influences that affect my life. And when I've actually recognized them and I've said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm no longer going to be influenced by this. I'm no longer going to sit under this authority or this lie or that lie. And I align myself with the truth of God's word about my life. And something changes. These promises, this experience of life becomes different. I start to understand it. It doesn't mean to say that, you know, my life becomes perfectly wonderful and it's all flowers and roses. That's just the opposite, in fact. that there's more fight and there's more struggle. But actually through that I encounter something of the promise of God, that he somehow strengthens me, and that I learn a lot more about what he wants for me in my life and what he wants to do. God has decreed life over you. His life. And when you pray in his authority, in agreement with his, then he is able to release what he has decreed. But when you disagree with it or you doubt it, then he can't. That's his choice. That's what he's chosen to do. It's not that he can't do it, because he can do anything. But he chooses to respect your freedom. And he chooses to choose for yourself. But God limits himself to your choices in that respect. That's a scary place, isn't it? When you think about that God actually limits himself to your choice. He respects you that much. But actually, when you agree with him, he is able to do what he has decreed. And the story of David and Goliath is all about that. And I've been looking at this this week. We read in 1 Samuel, we're not going to have time to read the whole passage now. But if you remember the story of David and Goliath, David went to his to visit his brothers on the battle line. Israel was lined up against the Philistines in the valley of Elah, and you had Goliath who was taunting the Israelites day and night, and it all came down to that one conflict, that one fight, you know. It was a little bit of wisdom there. They didn't want to see too much bloodshed, but I think the risk was massive, because this guy was huge. But none of the Israelites were willing to get out of the boat and take up the challenge. And then you get David coming in to this situation, and you can just imagine this little boy coming into the situation and really starting to stir things. What do you mean? You know, who is this joker? You know, and you know, he starts to stir up a bit of a hornet's nest, and he gets hauled in before Saul. And he says, look, I'm going to go. I'll go, you know. And, you know, it's just an incredible, incredible story. This young man. But there are some key things that we need to understand about David. David knew God. David believed God's promises. And David knew that God was able. He knew that God had promised, he'd made a covenant with Abraham, and that the tribe of Israel was under that covenant. So the land that these Philistines were trying to get was the land that God had decreed over Israel, was their land. And David believed that God was able to do more and abundantly more. He'd given him the strength to overcome the lion. He'd given him the strength to overcome the bear. And now you've got this uncircumcised Philistine, which means this is somebody outside the promises of God's covenant, daring to stand them down. And David said, who is this joker? You know, he's no match for my God. So just as, you know, just as God was with me with the bear, just as God was with me with the lion, so he's going to be with me in this situation. I'll go and sort this out. And what David does, he picks up his staff. Says he picks up his staff, and I learned this week, that actually on the staff, the shepherds would carve stuff, a lot about their own history. So what David had was carved into that, probably a bear and a lion or whatever. But there was a testimony. There was a testimony of what God had done on his staff. Okay? Now the Hebrew root of the word testimony doesn't mean just say it again. It means to duplicate. It means to duplicate. So it's not just that we'll say it again. It's going to do it again. So just as God was, so he is, and will be again. That's the power of the testimony. David walked out, and it says he went to, where did he go? He went to the stream, the brook. The Hebrew word for brook also means, because Hebrew words sometimes have lots of different meanings, also means inheritance. inheritance. Those five stones that he picked up were his inheritance. Yeah? And he lobbed it in his inheritance at Goliath and took him out. Armed with his testimony, his belief that God would do it again, belief in the covenant, and belief in his testimony, he went out and he faced his giant and he took it out. David did not just align himself to the authority of God. He enacted his will and God was with him. And he propelled him into his destiny. I believe our Father is wanting to do the same thing again today. We're in a series and a season of prayer. And prayer is about the process of positioning ourselves before God. It's where we admit and that we are in need of God. And if we're not in need of God, then I don't believe we're living within the will of God. In order for us to do the will of God, we need him. Yeah, because he calls us to do the things that we can't do on our own. His choice is to be with us and to strengthen us and to do the things that he wants us to do. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to release the synergy of the ages, the collective power of God's reign, his rule, and his advancement for his kingdom into your life, into the life of this church, and into this nation, and into this world. And in doing that, we will face the opposition of giants. We are going to fly in the face of adversity. Indeed, we already are. And if you listen to the voice of the media, then we could be influenced in a different way. We choose whether we listen to the influence, the voice of the media, or the authority of Jesus. And you may be facing your own giants today. Doubts, sickness, anxiety, fear, stress, financial difficulty. You may be facing impossible challenges right now. And it may well be that you've heard God's decree over your life in the past. But there is a sense in which the giants in front of you might be bearing down on you. The question is, we need to decide which camp we're going to be in. Are we going to be in Saul's camp? Are we going to be in David's camp? Are we going to sit back and let the giants intimidate us? Or are we going to stand on the testimony of God, the testimony that God has given to us? And if you don't feel you've got a testimony, let me tell you, if you're in the family of God, then every testimony about his goodness is your testimony. Every testimony. What he has done, he is able to do again. David progressed from the bear to the lion to Goliath and onwards until he fulfilled his destiny as the king. God is able to work at a higher level each time we move on with him. So today I just simply want to encourage you to pray, to position yourself before God and say to him, your kingdom come, your will be done. And maybe God is calling you again to sing from the same song sheet. Maybe you feel that, you know, that you sense that dissonance, that discord with what he has been speaking over your life, or what you see over your life as he has written in Scripture. And he's encouraging you again today to just come back to him. Align yourself to his authority. Recognize the voices that are calling you outside of that. And it's very simple. Scripture says, resist. Resist the devil. Repentance is to just simply turn around. So we repent of listening and allowing those voices to influence and hold sway over us. And we choose to turn around. We are free. We are free because of the cross. We are free because of everything that Jesus has done. What he achieved was to break the power of sin. The sin that entangles us, sin that catches us up, the power of the cross means that we are free to walk away from that and to continue to walk away from that. Nothing separates us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is the promise that we have. And we can walk away from it. It's as simple as that. We just simply need to resist. And so this morning I want to encourage you. Listen. Where are the points in your lives that you sense that you're under the authority of something else? Where are the points that you're in disagreement with God? Where are the points that you're not believing in what God has already decreed over your life? Align yourself to that. Submit to his authority. Submit to his word over your life. And then more than that, step out into your destiny. Armed with your testimony, armed with the promise of your inheritance as children of God, and step out. We've heard what happens when people step out, when they believe and they pray. And they pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're experiencing that. What's happening is that people are putting their lives into the synergy of ages. You know, the thing that God is doing, the melody, the symphony that he's been playing since the beginning of time and will continue and bring it to an end on one final day. Well, we're stepping into the flow of that. And when we do that, then we align ourselves. He is able to release his kingdom and we can see it come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which you draw us to yourself. We thank you, Father, for the promises that you have proclaimed to us through Scripture, the promises that you have spoken over our lives, Lord, that which we've heard for ourselves. We thank you, Father, that Jesus has made all of this possible. He has made it possible for us to be free from the things that hold us back. We thank you that he has released us, that he has redeemed us, that he restores us and places us back in reconciliation with you. He makes it impossible for us to turn away and to come back. And we thank you, Father, for what he has achieved. And Lord, this morning we want to say that we want to align ourselves with your will and your purpose, Lord, that we might see your kingdom come. Father, I pray that you would enable us to see the areas of our lives that this is not happening, that you would release us from that and restore us, Lord, and as that happens, Lord, that we might sense and see and experience the energy of your kingdom come in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I just want to speak that blessing over us this morning, Lord, that as we unify ourselves to your will and purpose, that you will command a blessing over our lives, that as we are unified together in your will as a church, Lord, that you will command a blessing and release a blessing into us and out from us, Lord, into this community. Lord, as churches together, as we begin to agree with your will and your purpose for this town, Lord, would you release a blessing? Lord, we know that the blessing is there, and that you don't need everybody to believe, to pour out that blessing. Lord, you've always worked with a remnant, and you've worked mightily through that remnant. And we're going to pray, Father, that our witness, our testimony, Lord, of what you have done in the past will become a reality in the present, Lord, so that others too would believe and be saved. Lord, we want to pray that you would achieve that in us as your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.